This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where we put the fringe in fringe. I didn't have anything today. I thought that was good enough. We are your hosts who, I swear, we haven't written off the whole episode. The rest of the episode's good. I just didn't have time for the opener, guys. We are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea. Here today, we're talking about whether or not there's DNA of Bigfoot out there.
Nice. There is.
And specifically, if we have studied it and written it down in papers.
I bet you we have.
Chelsea, I think you know a bit about this story. I'm going to dish on this whole thing with all the sass and whatnot that comes with it. This story turned out a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be, because when I first did it, I couldn't find anything, including the paper that's supposed to be on this subject.
Right.
I've got a lot to go over. It's going to take a while, so let's just get right down to the start. Now, Chelsea, this story is predominantly about one person, Dr. Melba Ketchum. Have you ever heard of her?
Yes, I have.
And I'm sure you've heard her talk before, too.
We covered this briefly in David Pilatus.
Yes, and he's going to come up at some point in this episode.
Thank God. I was really feeling like we were missing him in this episode. That's all I've heard her from, to be honest.
You're going to know her for a few things after this.
Okay, now, turning to the fringe for one.
So you all know, she is not only the most famous relative of Ash Ketchum, she is also a vet. You know what, let's just go over the Coast to Coast AM biography. Those of you who grew up in the 90s or later probably got that Pokemon joke. The rest of you, I do apologize for that.
Does Ash still exist in Pokemon?
I think he does. He might have just retired, but he went a long time. Now here's Dr. Melba Ketchum's Coast to Coast biography, as we always start these episodes. She grew up in Texas City, Texas, and attended Texas A&M University, where she received her doctorate in veterinary medicine after 5 years at the university. She had a mixed veterinary practice until she founded DNA Diagnostics, and Dr. Ketchum is the president and founder of DNA Diagnostics, Incorporated, doing business as Shelterwood Laboratories. Established in 1985, DNA Diagnostics has become a leader in all types of DNA testing, including human and animal forensics, human and animal paternity and parentage testing, disease diagnostics, trait tests, animal and human identity testing, species identification, and sex determination. Most common species of animal are tested at DNA Diagnostics. Ketchum initially says that she never believed in Bigfoot, and it's due to a friend's chilling encounter with the creature in 1995 that was relayed to her that really made her a believer and brought her into this world. She was approached to get involved in the testing of collection samples from Bigfoot sightings, and that's how she got brought onto the scene.
Okay.
She got approached in, I believe it was 2008. I didn't actually write that down, but it was some years before this all actually happened. And in November of 2013, after studying this stuff that they were given for 5 years, finally got to a point of publishing a scientific paper in a scientific journal. This was released in November of 2013. Their research appears in the De Novo Journal of Science, which seemed to confirm Ketchum's research about the reality of Bigfoot. And damn it, I forgot to include my joke about her having to catch them all, which is what brought her into the study of this. It can go here. That's fine. You guys will get the joke. From that time, when this article came out, I found a Live Science article on it. It can tell us what's in it. genetic testing confirms the legendary Bigfoot is a human relative that arose some 15,000 years ago, at least according to a press release issued by a company called DNA Diagnostics, detailing supposed work by a Texas veterinarian. The release and alleged study by Melba Ketchum also suggests such cryptids had sex with modern human females that resulted in hairy hominin hybrids, but the scientific community is dubious about her claims. Quote, a team of scientists can verify that their five-year-long DNA study currently under peer review confirms the existence of a novel hominin hybrid species, commonly called Bigfoot or Sasquatch, living in North America. The researchers' extensive DNA sequencing suggests that the legendary Sasquatch is a human relative that arose approximately 15,000 years ago, end quote. For her study, Ketchum obtained three, quote, whole nuclear genomes from purported Sasquatch samples. The genome sequencing shows that Sasquatch mtDNA is identical to modern Homo sapiens. mtDNA's mitochondrial DNA, but Sasquatch nuclei DNA is a novel unknown hominin related to Homo sapiens and other primate species, end quote. Quote, our data indicates that the North American Sasquatch is a hybrid species, the result of males of an unknown hominin species crossing with female Homo sapiens, end quote, the statement reads. So that's what came from the story.
Okay.
I should also state that on Ketchum's website at this time, Sasquatch Genome Project, she writes, quote, it has been a long and tedious battle to prove that Sasquatch exists. Trying to publish that had taken almost 2 years. It seems mainstream science just can't seem to tolerate something controversial, especially from a group of primarily forensic scientists and not, quote, famous academians, end quote, still inside her quote, aligned with large universities, even though most of our sequencing analysis was performed at just such facilities, end quote. That's all I got to read of her scientific paper. It was published in DeNovo. Chelsea, I want you to go to DeNovo Scientific Journal. Just type it in. You find it anything?
Bigfoot DNA discovered at last. Oh, no, no.
That's not the website.
Novosciences.ai.
Nope. That's not it. It doesn't exist anymore. DeNovo Journal published one journal, Volume 1, Issue 1, and it had one scientific paper in it. Do you want to guess which one?
The exact one you're talking about.
Yes, and that's it. And the website doesn't exist anymore.
Well, of course, why would you have it still running if you weren't publishing papers?
For the life of me, it is referenced in multiple places on the web. Can't find the journal entry anywhere because they all cite back to the DeNovo website.
So it doesn't exist. Isn't that convenient?
I mean, it probably does exist somewhere. It has to because somebody wrote it. It's not easy to find. That is for sure. I spent a long time trying to actually find it because I wanted to read this paper.
Okay.
Instead, Chelsea, what we have to rely on is reading a critique of Ketchum's process and paper that was written around the time of its publish by a skeptic. This is titled The Ketchum Project, What to Believe About Bigfoot DNA Science Article. It was uploaded by Sharon Hill on February 16th, 2015. Sharon Hill, this is all from, let me just find it really quick.
I'm sure that's what they were going for when they took the website down. Please read the summary by a skeptic.
Honestly, the best thing you can find. You can find everything about Sharon Hill and her background on here. She's written 6 publications on here and has 19 citations. It's the best thing we got, and that's what we're going with from here. And we're going to learn, Chelsea, all about the Bigfoot paper, proving that Bigfoot exists through DNA samplings from this perspective. In 2008, when her lab was picked to analyze the suspected Bigfoot Yeti hair from Bhutan, collected as part of Josh Gates' adventure show, Destination Truth, which airs on the Discovery Channel in the US, Ketchum appeared twice on the show in 2009 and 2010 as a forensic analyst. She then became one of the go-to people for those who had collected DNA samples that they thought might be from a Bigfoot. Ketchum was affiliated with various corporations registered in the state of Texas, including one called Science Alive LLC. This partnership included Robert Schmalzbach, better known as Jabba Bob, who was previously an officer under Tim Biscardi's group searching for Bigfoot, and Richard Stubstad, an engineer who became interested in Bigfoot DNA and was a funder of Ketchum's work. According to Stubstad, some sort of dispute occurred in fall of 2010 as lawyers eventually managed to cut Schmalzbach and Stubstad out of this corporation venture, leaving Ketchum with the entire control of any media from publicizing Bigfoot DNA findings. This was not the first or last of legal dealings where Ketchum was involved. Ketchum had been sued and lost a claim for patent infringement that required her lab to stop using certain tests. In addition, the lab itself was not in good standing with the public, having an F rating by the Better Business Bureau due to complaints for delivering results, a possible problem with the state of Texas regarding payment of franchise taxes, and some lost client contracts. Ketchum responded to these issues by admitting she was naive regarding the people involved in Bigfootery, which is the first time I've ever heard that term. Some of whom she described as turning out to be unethical. She did not know of their reputation, but wanted them removed from the study to protect its integrity. Ketchum had been associated with several other individuals and projects throughout the years of Bigfoot DNA collection analyses, including the following: the Olympic Project, a group of researchers studying habitat and attempting to obtain trail cam photos of Bigfoot. Tom Biscardi of Searching for Bigfoot Inc., involved with the infamous, and we'll cover this at some point, 2008 Georgia Bigfoot in a Freezer story. Chelsea, do you remember that?
I do, yep.
Who collected DNA samples for her project. So he's involved getting the DNA samples.
Oh, good. I was hoping he would be.
Wally Hersom, a generous contributor to several Bigfoot research projects, who funded at least some of Ketchum's work. Adrian Erickson of Sasquatch The Quest, who stated he has high-quality pictures and videos of the creature. And David Politis of North American Bigfoot Survey, who is a Ketchum supporter. Politis, an ex-police officer and author of books about missing persons and tribe of Bigfoot, has been particularly outspoken about Ketchum, placing the responsibility of the scientific study of Bigfoot DNA all on her, saying each of the samples used had its own specific story. Ketchum alone had all the data, he says, and deserves the praise. NDAs were signed among participants of the project so that information would not be leaked prior to the reveal, but it was anyways. A source of these samples supposedly included a toenail obtained by Biscardi from Larry Johnson, blood from a smashed PVC pipe, and flesh from the remains of a Bigfoot body. But it's not clear that all the samples were collected properly. They also may have been exposed to contamination or degradation. With the Destination Truth samples of 2008 apparently the primer for her interest in the subject, in August of 2010, Dr. Ketchum disclosed on the Coast to Coast AM radio program that she had a scientific paper in the works. The forthcoming paper provided an excuse for her to avoid discussing the results at the time. However, in the fall of 2010, Ketchum was doing additional interviews about her work. Ideas about Bigfoot being a type of human were already formed by other Bigfoot researchers. A copyright filing in her name, dated September 2010, described a media project related to, quote, a new tribe of living humans, end quote. The theme of a book or video was to be, quote, Sasquatch as a modern human with some genetic mutations accounting for their physical appearance, end quote. This copyright notice foreshadowed the results of her DNA study, stating that the project would describe, quote, complete Sasquatch mitochondrial genome sequence and nuclear DNA deviations, end quote. Ketchum later brushed aside the notice, saying it never came to fruition. This idea also corresponded to hypotheses proposed by David Politis in his book Tribal Bigfoot, published in 2009. So weird that she's coming to the same conclusion that Politis had in 2009 and is in fact trying to copyright said thing. News about Ketchum and the various Bigfoot projects was fed by rumors, speculation, and opinions that appeared unsourced on the internet. The social media aspect, especially personal weblog sites and the Facebook network, have provided a near-steady stream of both clear and dubious information. Melba herself became active on her own Facebook page in 2009, providing information directly to the public. In June 2012, the public page went away and only the private friend page existed. Several Bigfoot-themed blogs dutifully reproduced any news she posted on Facebook verbatim. She occasionally did address questions about the study on her page, but often referred questions to her publicist, Sally Ramey, who possibly also posted updates on this page. Therefore, it was not clear who was actually supplying the content for her Facebook page. In late 2011, Ketchum provided an update on Facebook that results were complete and the paper was being submitted for publication. She told her followers to be patient. Good science takes time. Citing the famous skeptical mantra, quote, extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. This is what we are doing, she added. She appeared confident that her data would stand up to scrutiny. However, Ketchum herself avoided opportunities for appearing in public. She was a no-show at two conferences in which she was scheduled to speak about Bigfoot DNA, a Bigfoot conference in Hanobia, Oklahoma in October of 2011, and in Richland, Washington, Bigfoot conference in May 2012. For the latter, she completed a DNA 101 presentation via Skype peer connection. These observers in attendance reported their disappointment to interested Bigfoot bloggers. The community of Bigfooters expressed their concerns that she was avoiding questioning by not appearing in public and completely controlling the discussion while everyone waited, hopeful for concrete results. However, Ketchum has alleged that she chose not to attend because there was a threat against her person at one of these events.
Interesting.
Every week, a diligent few search for the embargoed papers awaiting publication. There are many false alarms. A prolific blogger named Robert Lindsay was a major informant who published inside information and leaks from the various Bigfoot projects and activities for several years. Throughout 2012, he sparked interest in multiple occasions that the Ketchum paper would be published very soon. It wasn't. There were rumors that the paper had been submitted to the prestigious journal Nature, but had been sent back due to a lack of qualified authors or a testable hypothesis. In February of 2012, Ketchum implored her followers to have patience, saying, quote, "Our data is amazing and beautiful and all cutting edge," end quote. That sounds like a Trump quote right there. "Our data is amazing and beautiful and all cutting edge."
It actually really does. Now that you say it again, after you said it sounds like Trump, yeah. It absolutely does.
She also noted she was creating a website for non-scientists to be able to access the paper and understand what it meant. This was seen to be in the works in December 2012 on the DNA Diagnostics website. Ketchum continued to hurry up and wait by suggesting that revisions were requested for the paper, but it was never made clear if it was actually accepted anywhere for publication. She bragged that the paper had double-digit co-authors, many with PhDs, and some university heads of departments. In July, she assured followers that the bases were covered.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And, quote, "It will be worth the wait," end quote. Throughout 2012, her supporters in the Bigfoot community grew frustrated by the secrecy and delays. Confidence in the Ketchum Project and in Melba herself eroded. The red flags noted commentators include rumors of infighting among the project members, the fractioning of the original group of participants, the ever-moving release date for the data, and concerns over the sample origins and the ability to results to withstand scrutiny of the scientific community. To be clear, many scientific papers do take months of waiting and back and forth exchanges to revise the manuscript prior to publication. So this frustration by spectators was unfounded and should, in fairness, not have been attributed to Ketchum creating delays. Ketchum threw many observers for a loop when she disclosed that she had actually seen the creatures herself and described them as, quote, "peaceful and gentle," end quote. This was the whole thing. She was a neutral bystander in this, like just a scientist. And then she started talking about how she'd actually seen them and she fully believes in them.
This is going off the rails here quickly.
And the paper hasn't even come out yet. In April of 2012, she made public a photo she said she took with her mobile phone of an array of sticks in the forest with the suggestion that it was made by the creatures. This blurry sticks picture incited nasty comments on forums and blogs by a discouraged audience who bemoaned this unprofessional behavior. Ketchum claimed to have additional evidence to support the claim that a family of five playful Sasquatch repeatedly visited a site known as Habituation Site, but she did not reveal the location or further details. Her comment stated that her personal experiences were not meant to convince the non-believers. The DNA study would do that. Meanwhile, a parallel Bigfoot DNA project was launched by Brian Sykes, professor of human genetics at University of Oxford, and Dr. Michelle Sartori, director, Musée de Zoologie in Switzerland. This Oxford project invited submissions of indeterminate DNA samples as part of a larger inquiry into to the genetic relationship between our human species and other hominids, end quote. According to the published schedule for this project, samples were to be collected from May to September of 2012, analyzed from September through November, with a paper to be prepared for publication before the end of 2012. Because the peer review process does indeed take months and perhaps up to a year, we should not expect to see the results published until possibly well into 2013. Dr. Sykes obtained a copy of Ketchum's paper to analyze and told me through personal communications that he has no comment on it as of the time that this piece was released, nor any updates on his own project to share. That is a different tactic from the parade of social leaks Ketchum provided Dr. Meldrum of Idaho State University, as a well-known academic involved in Bigfoot research, has also steered clear of the Ketchum project and instead backs the Sykes study, perhaps even by submitting a sample towards it. Meldrum was also critical in semi-public of the Ketchum, quote, science by press release approach, end quote. It surely did not help Ketchum's reputation that she was associated with Igor Burtsev, a Russian Yeti researcher. In recent past, Meldrum expressed annoyance with the approach of Burtsev and the Russian scientists eager about the study of Bigfoot in the native lands. When fall 2012 came and no paper had yet appeared, things started to turn sour for the Ketchum camp. In September, Ketchum's public relations person, Sally Ramey, was gone. She was replaced by Robin Lynn Peffer, a woman who claimed a family of Bigfoot lived on her land in Michigan. She refers to them as the Forest People. She is known in the Bigfoot community for her wildly publicized comments that her Bigfoots like blueberry bagels. Peffer, however, does not appear to have any experience in either science or in public relations. It is not clear why or how Peffer was named as Ketchum's spokesperson. Observers noted in October that Ketchum's lab building in Timpson, Texas was closed and up for lease. The phone had been disconnected. One blogger followed up and discovered a backstory of Ketchum's missing payments and her neglect of the business itself. The business, nevertheless, still exists, but at a different mailing address. Ketchum's key to gaining acceptance for her Bigfoot DNA claims was published in a respected peer-reviewed scientific journal, but the plan went awry. The complicated mix of people, secrecy, delays, and promises boiled over in late November when news of the study was outed by Igor Burtsev, the self-appointed head of the Russian-based International Center of Hominology. Burtsev issued this urgent announcement on his Facebook page on November 23rd. Quote, the DNA analysis of the Bigfoot Sasquatch specimen conducted by Dr. Melba Ketchum, the head of DNA Diagnostics, Timpson, Texas, has been over, end quote. That doesn't really make any sense. Oh well. He stated that the team of American scientists led by Ketchum analyzed 109 purported samples of the creature. Ketchum sounded somewhat dismayed when responding to the leak, saying, quote, it is unfortunate that the partial summary of our data was released in this manner. However, I will be making a formal response in the next few days. Even though Igor Burtsev released this, it was not Dr. Burtsev's fault, end quote. She later admitted that possibly misunderstanding due to language and his eagerness was why the non-disclosure agreement was breached. At this point, she felt that the study must be addressed instead of ignoring the leak, and that might cause further damage if left unattended. After the official announcement of the results in November, Ketchum appeared in a few media interviews. In one, she mentioned that the paper of the study would be accompanied by high-definition video footage of the creature. The origin of this video is the Erickson Project. On his website, Erickson mentions the video and the many samples they collected that were analyzed for DNA. Back in February 2012, Ketchum had thanked Erickson for funding support for DNA testing. None of the footage has been released except for one still shot of a hairy, indeterminate shape on the forest floor, and hearsay that the images were all either wonderful or not convincing. The Erickson Project website went down for a while in November of 2011 when it rumored that Erickson had run out of money for it. It resurfaced in 2012. A few scientists have spoken out, showing enthusiasm and interest in the Ketchum results. Others were scathing in their criticism against her and the entire concept of the study. To fuel further ridicule, the quote, unknown novel, end quote, DNA was publicized as angel DNA by blogger Lindsay. A few press release outlets included this mention in their pieces. Dr. Ketchum denies ever using such a label. David Politis, the director of the North American Bigfoot Research, once again threw support behind the results and Ketchum, saying, quote, Dr. Ketchum originally found the combination to unlock Bigfoot DNA and utilized top scientists in various fields to validate the results. The results were independently verified, with the group silently sitting on these findings for months as the results were validated a third and fourth time, end quote. If true, that may explain the delays exhibited through 2010 to 2011. Politis had more commentary to add regarding the DNA. In the press, he is quoted as saying that, quote, it falls in the realm of human end quote. Experts in the field of human DNA study may wonder why they weren't consulted for her publication. The worldwide media coverage over the press release from Ketchum on November had not quite died down when on December 6th, Igor Burtsev was spilling more news on Facebook, saying the paper was rejected by the US journals, but is now under review in a Russian journal. Burtsev issued a scathing rebuke of what he considers the closed-minded American science establishment and their rejection of Bigfoot, noting that the creature's existence is accepted by the public as if scientific truth is somehow based on popular vote. Response from the Ketchum camp was incoherent, with Robin Lynn remarking, contrary to Burtsev, that the paper was still under review and, quote, extremely scientific, end quote. Again, we are left wondering what role Burtsev was playing with this drama. There may be some truth in the allegations that reputable science journals would not touch the study due to its association with Bigfoot, because there's no type specimen or any corroborating credible physical evidence. There is no justification for mentioning a creature known only from folklore in the study. Scientifically, all this results could say is that the DNA is unidentified. Which, yes, if you're writing it scientifically, you should remain neutral like that.
Yeah, oh, that seems like the proper thing to do.
Yeah. Then the paper finally appears. On February 12, 2013, Ketchum commented on Facebook media outlets, buckle up, and the next day the paper appeared along with a press release. The study, quote, North American Hominins Next Generation Sequencing of Three Whole Genomes and Associated Studies, end quote, which analyzed DNA from a total of 111 high-quality samples submitted from across the continent, appeared in the inaugural issue of De Novo Journal of Science. The co-authors were Ketchum, Wojtowicz, Watts, Spence, Holzenberg, Toller, Prochetko, Zhang, Bollinger, Shoulders, and Smith. The paper describes the conclusion stated earlier in the November pre-paper press release that both the mitochondrial and nuclear DNA were sequenced. The mitochondrial DNA inherited from the maternal side was human, but the nuclear DNA was not. This consisted of a structural mosaic of, quote, human and novel non-human DNA, end quote. Upon attempting to access the paper the morning it appeared, I encountered the next huge misstep by Ketchum. The journal De Novo is a brand new online outlet that consists of one issue with only this one paper. The website is clunky and amateurishly designed with stock sciencey photos of animals and test tubes. A strangely placed buy now button was in the center, yet on one page, the words De Novo Open Access floats in a blank box. For a moment, I did think the paper was freely available. Not so. Clicking on the Buy Now button, I was taken to the checkout page that charged $30 to access it.
What?
Backing out of the site to look for other reactions, I noticed that several Bigfoot bloggers had already obtained complimentary copies or they had managed to download the paper for free of a slight glitch. I requested through email to the address in the press release a complimentary press copy as well. The inquiry was not answered. I was provided two review versions of the paper later in the day via other means. Regarding the origin of De Novo, Ketchum said on the day of the paper release that an unnamed journal had accepted the paper after peer review was completed, but their lawyer advised them not to publish due to the disreputable topic. Instead of continuing to shop the paper to other sources, she decided to acquire the rights to this unnamed journal, suspected to be the Journal of Advanced in Multidisciplinary Exploration in Zoology. Looking into the history of that journal, investigators found it was registered under Ketchum's name on January 9th, 2013. This led to serious ethical questions about the publishing. The De Novo website was created on February 4th, 2013, just 9 days prior to the release of the paper. Ketchum claims to have documentation of the prior reviews and from the acquisition of the new journal. These and any information on which journals previously rejected the paper have not yet been released. In the announcement of the paper, Ketchum mentioned two associated websites, the Sasquatch Genome Project and the Global Sasquatch Foundation. Both were produced with what appeared to be the very basic web tools hosted on low-volume servers. Both sites failed the first day, possibly due to the traffic. Prior to their inaccessibility, I captured some information published on them. On the Sasquatch Genome Project, Ketchum denied she self-published and took a dig at the scientific community. Quote, "We encountered the worst scientific bias in the peer review process in recent history," end quote. Again, sounds like a Trump quote.
What's her deal?
I guess Trump wouldn't have said recent history. He called it the Galileo effect and suggested that she was treated unfairly. Ketchum's explanation for publishing in DeNova was that she was eager to get the data out there and not have to deal with further rejections, hinting that all the previous reviewers were less than decent or open-minded, seemingly because they rejected her work. On the Global Sasquatch Foundation site, the statement appeared, quote, "Due to the efforts of our founder, Dr. Melba Ketchum, it has been proven that Sasquatch are a human hybrid. Here at GSF, we have made it a priority to protect these indigenous peoples from being hunted, harassed, or even killed." End quote. One could assert that this statement was premature considering the scientific community had not assessed her conclusion. Regardless, she had extreme confidence in her result. The foundation site also included pictures of stick structures supposedly constructed by the creatures and a photo of a matted horse mane. An example of what Ketchum had alleged is Sasquatch braids is in the horse manes. As for the paper itself, it was incomprehensible to those without specialized training in genomics or forensics. It began with the premise that Sasquatch exists, and this study helps to confirm that. 2 days later, Ketchum announced through social media that unnamed, quote, top-level scientists, end quote, volunteered to assess her data. A few days after that, a statement appeared on the DeNova website from David Swenson, a biochemist, who said he reviewed the manuscript and agrees with the conclusion. The statement, as well as Ketchum's own statement and those of her spokesperson, were all riddled with grammatical and typographical errors. The few experienced geneticists who viewed the paper reported a dismal opinion of it, noting it made little sense. The DNA sequences did indeed contain matches to a human chromosome 11, a lot of the undetermined DNA, and some that in part matched to other animals. Thus, the whole sequences do not resemble any known animal and are contradictory with evolutionary biology. In a curious side note, the term de novo is used in bioinformatics to designate the absence of a reference genome. Next generation sequencing technology was used in the study to read the whole genome, a process that used to be far more time and labor intensive. There are problems with NGS, de novo protocols, that can lead to poor quality data. We do not know if the results were properly evaluated prior to concluding that the genome data could be used, and if the interpretation of the results is reasonable. These factors will likely come into play during the external review of the paper. Some critics have stated that the DNA may have been contaminated. Ketchum assures everyone that she fully accounted for contamination issues and dismisses this allegation, citing her own lab's experience with handling forensic crime samples. The samples have not been made available to others, so there is currently no way for anyone to run a test to compare results. There appears to be multiple places where the data quality could have been compromised, regardless of how confident Ketchum is in her results. Accompanying the official version of the paper was Erickson's video, which supposedly showed a sleeping Sasquatch. Made public a day later, showed a brown furry mass sleeping on a woodland floor. The Erickson Project claimed that the DNA was obtained from this individual named Matilda, which was analyzed as part of the Ketchum study, providing a link to a real creature. The promised high-definition video evidence was not made available. Within a week, researcher Bill Munns claimed that he had acquired still shots of Matilda, whereby the face strongly resembled Chewbacca, a tall, hairy, Bigfoot-esque creature from the Star Wars movies. If that wasn't enough to increase the derision of Ketchum's work, what may be the most humiliating find came from careful readers on a skeptical forum. Three of the references cited in Ketchum's paper as prior published research on the creatures were discovered to be questionable in validity. One was an openly stated April Fool's prank that concluded the Yeti was actually an ungulate, hooved mammal, in that its resemblance to apes was due to convergent evolution. When confronted with this information, Ketchum denied responsibility, saying she was told to include all references by one reviewer. She had not conceded that she knew they weren't reputable scientific works. So what does Ketchum have? Is it human DNA with an undocumented variation? Is it an animal sample contaminated with human DNA, or vice versa? Is it a concocted hoax? Or is it actual unique DNA that may point to the existence of an unknown hominin? In a revealing interview on Coast to Coast AM, she told the public she is not after glory, would rather avoid the publicity, and has turned down money-making offers. She admitted that she wouldn't tackle this project if given another chance due to the trouble it created for her. She admits she was not privy to the culture of Sasquatchery that exists where many players try to either one-up or discredit the other person. She is solidly convinced that she has enough data to unquestionably make the case for the existence of Bigfoot, even without a type specimen. In the Coast to Coast AM conversation, she likened them to special forces soldiers who cannot be seen unless they want to be. She has completely accepted that they exist across North America and wishes them to be protected as a tribe of people. In the presentation of this potentially earth-shaking discovery, Ketchum lost every shred of scientific credibility through her short-circuiting genetic experts and the process of peer review. Instead, she attempted to appeal to the popular Bigfoot enthusiast crowd as their savior who has the goods. Even that backfired. She continued to make excuses instead of admitting her errors and poor judgment. She censors those who point out these serious problems or ask questions about them, and she has not exhibited cooperation with geneticists who are experts in human DNA. The people supporting her are not usually helpful to her cause. Her disclosures about her own personal sightings and obvious missteps in the process have done much to sabotage her own credibility. It's not a pleasant picture. For now, Ketchum's chapter in the saga of Bigfoot remains unresolved. There's one thing we can be certain of. This is not the end of the Bigfoot story. The legend will live on in the hearts. That's the end of the article. What do you think of it, having not been able to read it in any way, even the abstract, and only hearing a critique?
The guy that wrote, the guy or girl, I can't
Sally,
remember.
Yeah.
Did a great job, I think. Way better than it seemed she did at putting out this information.
It really felt like she was open to actually seeing it and it being Bigfoot. It's just, this is a terrible story. Like, there was no way this is coming out good.
What business does she have doing DNA?
Sharon or Melba?
Melba.
Melba does have a DNA lab. We're actually going to talk about that a bit. She does have a background in veterinary studies. She has her doctorate.
Veterinary medicine. Like, why would that lead her to DNA diagnostics?
I think she found an opening with it. She does have specialization in it. And she has worked with courts in the past and provided expert opinions on DNA analysis. We're going to get that.
Animal.
To DNA.
DNA.
It's all over the map, and I'm really not sure if we could say it's non-human, human, exactly what she's done. She's done countless, but that will come up in a minute here.
I mean, I know I'm reading her biography. It says she does DNA diagnostics, but what makes her an expert in that?
I believe she does have training in it and courses, but I couldn't actually point to the specific courses because all I know is she has a veterinary doctorate.
That's all I'm looking at here. I can't find anything else.
Yeah.
I also see here that she did a Bigfoot and giant discoveries with George Knapp for 4 hours.
Yeah.
The full Coast AM. She's also planned at that point on sampling giants and elongated skulls for DNA. So I'm surprised that George Knapp spent that much time with her. And at that point, she's a DNA expert.
And I will say, I've listened to a couple of the podcasts she's been on in the last 4 years, I would say. She still asserts that this paper shows exactly what she wants it to show. She receives no pushback from anybody.
That's the thing about this freaking community. Like, yeah. They're just giving the people what they want to hear because it's so fringe.
Well, that and the broadcaster as well. They don't want to lose access to these people, so they don't do pushback. I think it's as simple as saying that. Or they don't want to do the work, because if you're hosting a daily show, like, it's really hard to actually critically analyze everything that you're going to be talking about.
That's true.
But I don't know. They don't critically analyze anything. You think if you're doing a daily show, at least like maybe once in a while, you'd have the time to do it.
Well, I'm surprised at George Knapp, because George Knapp is pretty good. Usually pretty good.
I listened to one today where she was on, what was it? Spaced Out Radio. I've never heard them before. I was listening to it. Weirdly enough, he was posting from central British Columbia, so he's somewhere near me. She brought up that she saw Bigfoot at a fence mind communicating with something, and then also that the Kandahar giant is real, which we've covered in the past. It is, that story is so made up.
Definitely not real. I noticed that every single link that I can find to get to her is also dead link.
Yeah, everything's down. She still does shows. She goes on very select shows. She maybe does 4 interviews a year now, I think. Somewhere in that range of like 2 to 7.
But you think she would exist somewhere?
Oh, she does, Chelsea. I'm going to send you to her. Which one am I on here? Sorry, I have way too many links open. Her GoFundMe page.
Well, it looks like the Sasquatch Genome Project website. Well, there's the picture.
So she has asked for $20,000 to help fund
Dogman.
Yep, she has Bigfoot, Dogman, and Giant, and others DNA. that she now wants to study, and she needed $20,000. And good news, everybody, she has $26,000 as of reading this podcast. So she still does have a following out there.
This is crazy.
The even crazier thing I found out about her, Chelsea, if you search her name on Amazon, she has a couple books that she wrote that I don't know how to describe them. They're either young adult fiction about a family of Bigfoots living in the forest, or they're romance erotic Bigfoot novels. I can't tell, but she was writing these just after her DNA scientific paper came out, because they start in 2014.
Let me take a look. But I also have to say about this GoFundMe, at least David Wilcock is on YouTube working for his donation as grandma.
He will whore himself out there.
Oh, yeah.
For every dollar.
Why can't I find this?
I'm going to send a link.
I'm sad I missed that live. It stick for his memories. Oh, they're holding hands.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's supposed to be young adult or if it's supposed to be a romance.
Is that a Bigfoot? Is that supposed to be a Bigfoot?
Chelsea, do you want to read the quote from the book?
Oh, I was going to read the reviews. They're all
please
five
just
stars.
Read that.
Okay, quote. If only I hadn't gotten lost. If I hadn't strayed into the woods, none of this would be happening. I wouldn't break Garrett's heart. I wouldn't have hurt my parents and my brother. Zari wouldn't have died. Is this for you? It's all my fault. If only I hadn't been so foolish. She chided herself as tears ran down in a torrent down her face. What have I done? Lucy McKay has decisions to make that will change her life forever. Torn between the mystical and oftentimes dangerous world of the forest people and her normal teenage life with her family, she must choose. But how can she when she longs for both? Only Gracie can decide. The forest people?
Yeah, that's the Bigfoot. That's what she calls them. That's their tribe okay. She wants to protect.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. Now, imagine you want to be taken seriously as a scientific author of a very serious Bigfoot paper. And within the year, you write, I can't tell, Chelsea, young adult? Or romance novel. Which one is it?
Young adult, for sure. Look at the picture on the back.
Oh, and their teeth? Yeah.
Do you think this is AI?
No, this is before AI.
Are they vampires?
And Chelsea, there's another one called Mystic Forest Wishes, and it has the same picture on the back. Yeah, do you want to read some of the reviews?
They're all five star. Gracie and Zari's adventures continue. Great sequel. The adventures of Gracie and Zari continue in this book. Gracie struggles with teenage angst as she tries live in both Zari's worlds and her own at the same time. Learning to live in two worlds opens up new perspectives and makes Bought her and Zari better people. That's thirsty for truth that reviewed that. Booty. Love, love, love this book. Next book, please. Love this one. Amazon customer. Fantastic book. Left me wishing I didn't have to wait for the next in the series. Can I mark it helpful? That's it.
Well, I guess there
like
are...
someone's getting it for their birthday.
But yeah, like I said, Chelsea, like everything to do with this journal and this paper disappeared. As far as I can tell, immediately upon it being released, it's still touted.
Thank God the book did.
To this day as a very real scientific journal paper that needs to be taken
that
seriously.
Is so bizarre, and it's nowhere to be found.
And David Politis, June 24th, 2019, on Coast to Coast AM, quote from episode.
I get
in the second hour, Politis talked about various types of evidence for Bigfoot, including Melba Ketchum's DNA testing, which indicated that the creature is actually a type of human hybrid. This was 6 years after that debacle of it being released.
That is messed up.
He knows that is not real.
Can I also just say, I have to say this quick. This is going back a little bit. I tried to find the book myself on Amazon, and I'm looking at a bunch of ketchup, and it turns out I spelled her name wrong.
Okay.
There's some Melinda's ketchup. It looks pretty good.
That's probably more reputable. I will say that.
Probably, and it looks pretty nice.
I don't really know what Melba's doing outside of this Bigfoot and quasi cryptid DNA study, because I have to read you this other article I found. In June 2021, Dr. Ketchum was accused by the Harris County Public Defender's Office of professional misconduct related to her forensic analysis in a criminal trial. Quote, Ketchum committed misconduct when she testified about the forensic analysis of canine DNA while knowing her laboratory was not accredited under Texas law. The complaint also alleged Ketchum presented incomplete and misleading testimony regarding the DNA analysis in the case by failing to explain the limitation of her opinion. The commission finds the testimony of Ketchum in the trial was incomplete and poses substantial risk of misleading the trier of fact. The commission also found Ketchum was aware of and consciously disregarded the accepted standard of practice as set forth in peer-reviewed articles she co-authored. Ketchum's testimony constituted professional misconduct because she was aware of and consciously disregarded any accepted standard of practice.
Oh, shit.
Through Dr. Ketchum's testimony in the trial, though Dr. Ketchum's testimony in the trial was separate from her Bigfoot research, they are closely related. For example, her analysis in both cases involved misidentification of mitochondrial sequencing of non-human hairs, overstating the certainty of her conclusion, and disregarding accepted standards of practice in her field. Her expert testimony misconduct is in some ways more serious than that of her Bigfoot research, as it occurred in the context of a criminal trial and could have contributed to an innocent person being wrongly convicted or a guilty person going free. And I will end it there. Turns out she's not that good at it. And it was funny because in some of the interviews I was listening to, she said that the Bigfoot paper impacted her work with the courts because she gets discredited for working on the Bigfoot case, when really they're pointing to it as very shitty genetic analysis. Not because you did Bigfoot work.
People are probably pretty quick to accept that as an answer who are looking who are really heated about stuff like this coming up. And that's pretty damning. This is a court that's saying, you know, you're not properly doing your work as a professional.
And particularly in the exact same way that you're claiming you've done your work in the Bigfoot project. Not claiming it in there, just kind of being able to cross-reference it that way.
Just right there, you can tell right away that she doesn't do her work as a professional.
She's able to get 26 grand from people to continue on. So I guess we may have a follow-up episode on Dr. Melba Ketchum at some time in the near future.
I hope she keeps putting out books.
See, it's been 10 years since the last one. I think this might be the conclusion of the Mystic Forest, unfortunately.
She has some people that are waiting. Well, that's crazy. Thank you to the person who did the frickin'...
Yeah, Sharon, super... you know what? Sharon Hill, you're a lifesend to the skeptic community. That was a fantastic breakdown of something that had to be done at the time because you can't find it anymore.
Let her listen to the podcast for free for the rest of her life.
We'll send her a free copy in the email.
Yeah, by a floppy disk. I gotta say, a comment, of course, for David Pilatus. 6 years later, in he comes saying that this is credible work. Gotta love that.
I'm sure you could find it other places. I always check Coast to Coast because I know he's on there and they actually do a fairly good job of breaking down what's discussed. So I was like, I bet it's in here.
What's
and
the
sure
point
enough.
In that? What's the point in him?
Who's gonna call him out on it? Like, these guys only go on shows that don't call him out.
He's so hard pressed to give an answer of what's missing 411 is, which I think he's now saying is UFOs. I'm really behind on him. But why specifically, if you're so cautious to not be discredited by saying something, why would you get behind someone like that? Doesn't make sense. But he's an asshole, so he's on the list of the show that's coming. We know it. We did an episode on him. Not the asshole episode, but the asshole episode on David Pilatus.
It was one of the episodes we got pushback on, too. That's where that was the inane laughter episode.
Oh, yeah, it was. I love inane laughter.
But in any event, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.